Yeah, my resolution last year, was it last year or was it the year before? I had a resolution one of these years that was read one single book.
The last 2 years, RJ.
I haven't read it. No, of course not. Have you seen what the world is like? I don't have time to read 500 pages of a book that's not for this podcast.
If only we could take our love of reading to a new level.
Well, I've always wanted to start a book club. Book
club! For masochists and other deviants.
Hello and welcome to the Book Club for Masochists, where we read and discuss all the genres and types of literature, regardless of our actual interest in them.
Every month, we read books from a new, randomly picked genre. Then on the podcast, we discuss our reading choices, experiences, opinions, appeal factors, and other related topics as friends and library workers.
In this, episode number 142, we're discussing our idea of 2022, the year of book two. Or more Matthew's idea. But yeah, we're going along with it.
We're on board.
Yeah. So my name's Anna. I'm a librarian in Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, which is located on the traditional homelands of the Nuuvi Southern Paiute people, including the Las Vegas Paiute Tribe and the Moapa Band of Paiutes.
My name is Matthew. I'm a librarian in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
My name is RJ. I'm a librarian also in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, which is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Stolo people.
My name is Megan. I live and work on the unceded traditional territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe, and I'm an archivist.
In the National Capital Region of Canada?
I guess.
Okay.
All right. Do we have announcements, Matthew, before we get going?
Book list?
Yeah, we've got a book list in the show notes for this episode and on our website, bookclub4m.com. As with all of our episodes in the last couple of years, it is a book list of books by authors of color, Black, Indigenous, and people of color authors. And this one, since this is a non-genre episode, since we're not talking about a specific genre, we're doing a retroactive list. So we're going back and doing a list of books of weird fiction by Black, Indigenous, and people of color authors. And you can find that, I already said, in the show notes and at bookclubforhem.com. We did a new weird episode not that long ago, so I also linked to that. So you can get twice as many books.
Yay!
Hooray! All right, let's get into the 2022, the year of book two. Or are we starting on talking about 2021?
Well, maybe I should explain what this is, even.
Yeah, let's start with the concept of what we're doing here today.
Okay, so in my mind, 2022 has a lot of twos in it, as a year. And so I thought that it would be fun to make this a year in which we try to read the second book in series that we enjoyed the first book of and have been meaning to get around to the second book and have not done so yet. Because I think everyone that reads books has at least a couple series where they read the first book and they're like, oh, that's good, I should read the rest of it. And then you never get around to reading the second one. So the idea is that you read the second book in a series that you liked. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
When you first mentioned it, I thought it was a personal attack because I read a lot of book ones and not a lot of book twos, but...
Well, it was, but also I think it's a good idea. Like, I'm not saying that you have to read book twos if you didn't like the first book, you know? But there's a... Like, I realize that there's a bunch of stuff that that I have been... I've read the first book and I just haven't gotten around to reading the second one. And I thought, why not do this? I really liked, as we've discussed before, I really liked structured reading. I don't do like challenges in the same way, but I do enjoy, I don't know, like finding themes for my reading, I guess maybe as a way to think about it.
You set yourself reading goals and you really like having a reading goal and kind of meeting and being successful at that reading goal.
But my reading goal is not necessarily the same as other people's reading goals.
Yeah. You like them to have themes and weird reasoning behind them that makes no sense to anybody else's brain, which is fine.
Like, if I hadn't thought of this one, my other goal, potential goal for this year, was just to read every book translated from a specific language. Like, pick a language that isn't translated into English very often, you know, that has, like, between 10 and 20 books released in English a year, and just read all of those. So maybe next year. I think that would be really interesting. So if people have suggestions for languages that are not translated that often into English, let me know.
So the other thing is that this allows us to sidestep our annual reading resolutions episode in which Anna says, why the heck?
I refuse. I refuse. You can't make me.
And Megan's resolution is read fewer books. And RJ's resolution is read a book.
Yeah, my resolution last year, was it last year or was it the year before? I had a resolution one of these years that was read one single book.
The last 2 years, RJ.
I haven't read it. No, of course not. Have you seen what the world is like? I don't have time to read 500 pages of a book that's not for this podcast. I think one of my other goals, I think, last year was reading for fun outside of the podcast. I did some of that. I think I got worse at that the more the year dragged on. But I definitely read some, like, at least, like, graphic novels and novellas for myself. But we're not talking about reading resolutions. We're not doing it this year. Or rather, we all have the same resolution, I guess.
Yes.
To varying degrees of intensity.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so I have rejected doing goals for the annual goals for many years now. Several years back, how many years ago was this? 5 years ago now? I don't remember. Anyways, back in my era of working a lot in public libraries, I just had reading goals coming out of the ears. I had all sorts of different bingo sheets that I was doing, and I kept committing to different reading goals. I hated doing all of it. Unlike, I am the total opposite of Matthew. I hate having structured reading. I despise having a goal to how I read. I don't even like finishing things. I drive Matthew nuts when I don't finish things at the back. I am like the least structured, most chaotic reader you could come across. So I finally just decided to give in to my reality and the fact that I am utter chaos when it comes to reading, and I just don't even try setting goals anymore. So even though I've agreed to this premise of the year of 2022, I make zero promises about the actuality. I will give you some options, but I make no promises.
Yeah, Anna's here to talk about it with us, not necessarily to...
I'm not committing.
Like, the fact that you do this podcast with us is really, like, the commitment I expect.
It is the most structured thing in reading that I have ever maintained for any significant amount of time, by far. And I went through a very long phase of utterly failing. And at this point, I seriously don't even, like, specify whether or not I totally finished a book when I talk about it on this podcast, because I'm just like, there's no point in me specifying whether or not I finished the book. I got close enough. I try to get, like, to the 70% mark, and that's good enough.
I think that's fair. I mean, you read enough that you can talk about it, so.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, look, I do actually read a lot, but I hate structured reading. I hate being forced to read a thing or, like, giving myself a specific goal or, yeah, I'm not that person.
Why are you on this podcast again?
Because of masochist, Matthew. Well, like, it's in the title. Also because of my friends. I'm here because of my friends.
Yes, that's true. But if you are interested in reading along with our year of book two, we have a hashtag /a Goodreads shelf, which I don't understand how it works exactly, but it's hashtag 2022 year of book two.
And there'll be links to that and the Goodreads shelf. Goodreads is very confusing in how shelves exist or don't exist.
Yeah.
But you can go see a bunch of things we've tagged as 2022 year of book two.
Yeah, this is the year I decided to give up on Goodreads and switch over to StoryGraph to see if it works better for me. I get more interesting stats, but I guess I could start a hashtag there as well.
Yeah.
Are you going to do Instagram stuff on it or anything else?
Yeah, we'll post on all the things, I'm sure.
Okay. I was just curious. I don't do it. I am the least involved and engaged. I, like, gave up on Facebook. I don't do Instagram. I tweet sometimes, but even at that, it's not much.
I mean, that sounds healthy.
Yeah, I've actually been, like, seriously cutting down on my time on Twitter this last year because I finally reached a point where I was like, I can literally feel it ramping up my anxiety as I'm looking at it, as I have it open, and I'm like, this is not good for me. So I've got it like really limited down to how often and how much I look in a given a day. And the moment I start feeling like negative emotions, I just turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm just like, nope, that's not what this is for.
Okay. I found the list on the shelf on Goodreads, and currently there are 34 books tagged.
Wow.
Dang.
Three of them tagged twice. And there's only three of us tagging things. So that's actually pretty impressive.
We have some in common. Did you, Matthew, want to talk about your 2021 resolution before we move into 2022?
Sure. My 2021 resolution was to read the 10 books that had been on my Goodreads to read list the longest. So I think there were five from 2015 and five from 2016. And my goal was to read just get rid of the oldest stuff off the list. And I think I was pretty successful in that I have, at time of recording, read 8.5 of the 10. And that will hopefully be 9 by the time this episode comes out. No, I promise it will be 9 by the time this episode comes out. And then the 10th is on my shelf. And my shelf only has 3 prose books on it. So maybe that one will get read in the near future as well. We'll see. It's very long is the problem. But I was very happy. I got to be like basically 9 of the 10 books read. It was, I don't know, I felt accomplished in getting that stuff done. So
yeah, I'm always, this is one of the things where like, I may not be a structured reader or do well with these goals or be good at finishing books, but I genuinely appreciate the fact that Matthew does it. Like, it still impresses me. And I know he gets things out of being the completionist that I am not. So like, I'm still total. I just want to mention that both ways are valid. You can go Matthew's way, you can go my way, and you're still a valid reader, and it doesn't matter which way you go.
Definitely. And also, like, the reading every page thing. It's like, you know, do you play a video game and get on 100% it and get all the collectibles, or do you just finish the story and then move on to the next thing? You know, like, you don't have to read the appendices to get everything out of it. I was like, the index? I'm like, nobody reads the index. Like, what's the other thing at the end of a book?
The acknowledgments,
yeah.
Or the epilogue.
Yeah, I have started skipping introductions when I do nonfiction genres for this podcast, and it has just improved the amount of the book that I read.
I have to say, like 20 years later, I'm still bitter about an introduction to one of the collections of the Sandman comics by Neil Gaiman that spoiled like so many elements of things. And I find that happens with like a lot of like classic stuff as well. Like,
yeah,
the introduction will just if the introduction or foreword is by like another author, it will just spoil things that are happening in the plot as though you already know what's going on. I'm just like, yeah, no, just skip those. Go into the book. Go into the story directly and then come back to that. If it's written by somebody that's not the author, it's an afterword.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remembered, and I didn't mention it, I think, in the episode or in the best of, because it was one of my best of books, but the Ursula K. Le Guin collection of essays that I really liked last year had introductions for like not quite every essay, but like for every section. So there were like at least a dozen intro essays in there that were not by Ursula K. Le Guin, and I skipped all of them.
Fair.
Fair.
What makes book twos hard to read? Why do we keep putting off book twos?
There's so many book ones.
There are so many book ones.
Well, it's like, I was thinking about it, and some of the book twos that I really liked are actually when they're in a collection. So they've collected the trilogy or a portion of the series into one book. And then there's none of that like friction where you've got to wait till the second book comes out, or you have to find out, you know, where it is, where you can get it. You have to wait in a hold list or something like that. And so the friction is less. So the friction between book one and book two, or book two and book three, since I have problems with all of them, like book two is not unique. I have trouble moving on to the next book because, as Matthew said, there are so many book ones that I want to read.
I think that's maybe the biggest issue for me is that I'm generally not great at keeping up to date with what new books are coming out. Comics, sure. Books, not so much. And so if I read something where the second book isn't out yet, like I might add the second book to my to-read list and then just forget about it entirely. But at the same time, like, how often do I read the first book and then immediately read the second one? When was the last time I did that? Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know.
So I did that very recently with The Invisible Library. I don't remember if that's like just the name of the whole series, but that's the name of the first book in this series by Genevieve Cogman. And then I went straight on. I literally went out and bought the next book. The Mass City is the next book. And I even bought book three at the same time, The Burning Page. I haven't started book three yet, but I did read book two already. So I couldn't do that one for this year of book two. So, and that was literally just this last year that I did that. But I haven't done something like that in quite a while. So that was kind of nice to have something that I just immediately wanted to go on and have more with these characters and read the next book.
Mm-hmm. I was able to do that with an ebook that I read that I can't remember the name of, unfortunately. It was like a paranormal detective story, and one of the main characters was a werewolf or something like that. And because I'd borrowed it from the library as an ebook and the second one was immediately available, I think I read them back to back.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear you guys say like that one of the barriers is like it's hard to read them as they're coming out because you don't keep track of when things are coming out, which is totally fair. But I feel like I always have an easier time, at least historically, reading the second in a series if it's not out yet.
Mm.
Then if like they're all out, then it feels like, well, there's so many of them. Do I really want to like commit to, because if I read the second one, then it's like, I'm going to feel bad if I don't then read the third one. Assuming there's a third one, you know, I love a duology. I love when somebody just writes two books and is done. That's great.
I think it is really interesting how like it seems the standard series length is three books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a convention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if the author didn't originally intend it to be three books, like the publishers are like, no, dude, we'll sign you for two more if your first one's successful. This kind of seems like how it works. I don't know. I don't work in the publishing industry in that area. Yeah, I guess how often do you stop reading a trilogy after two books?
Right, yeah. I actually have done a bunch.
Yeah.
I have a bunch to talk about. I went through this whole thing with young adult trilogies where I quit a bunch of them and after reading book two.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I was going to say, I feel like the, like, not reading book twos as they're coming out feels easier to me. I think partially maybe because I've worked mostly in public libraries or at least libraries with like a big popular reading collection. So I am seeing things as they come out. And I think also there's just something about the anticipation for me that is more appealing. If I really liked a book one and then I have to wait like a little bit, then finally getting it and starting it feels more satisfying than if it is immediately available. Then it's just like, oh, well, do I want to stick with this or, you know, there's so many other book ones.
It's true.
That's really interesting that you say that, RJ, because I feel like I have read so often the opposite narrative, which is like people will see a book that they're really interested in reading and then they'll go intentionally to look up to see if any sequels are out already, and if they aren't, they won't start reading the first one because they want to have as much as possible of it there for them so that they can binge it. So that's really interesting that you feel the opposite way about it.
Yeah, there are some series that I haven't started because, like, I mean, not to give him a hard time, but oh God, what is the name of the wind? Patrick Rothfuss. Where it's like everyone's been waiting for the next book for however many years now. Yeah, like I don't want to start something that I don't know when the last one's going to come out. But if I feel like some of my most satisfying series reading experiences are when I can like time it right. So I'm just reading the first in the series like a few months before the second one comes out.
Mm-hmm. It is nice to have kind of a digestion period in between the books, depending on how they're written.
It's so interesting where people see, like so often with series though, people want to start with the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very, I guess it's the same with movies. People usually don't go into movies with like the second movie in a series. But video games are something where people will often start playing multiple games into it. Like, whereas it might be part of a series, it is also expected to be like a satisfying narrative, even if you haven't played the previous ones, I guess.
Yeah, that makes me think, though, too, of like mystery series. You can often just start them anywhere in the series, even though it is all connected.
Yeah.
So a lot of mystery, you can, like, there's intentionally designed so you can pick them up wherever. It might be really satisfying to start from the beginning and see the progression, but that doesn't mean that's the best possible entry point. As opposed to like a lot of science fiction and fantasy, it can be intimidating, confusing, or can like diminish the enjoyment of the storyline. In fact, there was a whole big thing, I think, a year or so ago about a reviewer who was negatively reviewing some book that was like the second in the series, and they admitted they'd never read the first in the series, and they're like, it seems like it's an incomplete story. And we're just like, it's a fantasy novel, which has the convention that you do need to read them in the order, and I don't know why you were reviewing them like this.
Yeah, that was so funny.
That was very funny.
I do wish that more like fantasy and science fiction series had like a previously recap at the beginning of books. And this applies to like graphic novel, like comics as well. So often I'm reading something and I'm just like, who are these people? What's going on? Because clearly I just don't remember things at all.
I often have waited so long between the books. I'm like, I can't remember who the main character is supposed to be. I'm just going to go with it until people should have shaked themselves out.
Yeah. That's kind of what you have to do. But there's like occasionally when I'm reading that, there'll be like this shocking reveal or something. And I'm like, who is this character? Am I supposed to know who this is? Right.
Let me do a quick Google and refresh my memory.
I will admit, in terms of the books that I selected for this one, I was like, I think I'm going to have to reread book one before I can get into this one.
There's a lot of books that I tagged on our Goodreads shelf, 2022 year of book two, that realistically I'm not going to read because I am not going to remember a thing about the first one because I read the first one like 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah, since I don't reread books, I'm just like, I just have to deal with it. I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. If I enjoyed the first one, I presumably will enjoy the second one as well. Hopefully.
I mean, you could always, like, go to the Wikipedia plot summary.
Yeah, sometimes there isn't a Wikipedia plot summary.
Oh, no.
It's true. If it's not a very popular book, then you kind of have to, like, do your best.
My constant frustration with looking at the Wikipedia page for manga series where it will list the anime adaptations, the voice actors for the anime adaptations, the dates of publications, how many volumes there were, the music CD that accompanies it, but list literally tell you nothing about the plot or even who the characters are. And it's just like, this is a manga by this person. It came out on these dates. It was adapted into this thing. I'm just like, what is it about? Please tell me what the plot is.
I don't know. We just have access to the metadata. We haven't actually read it.
I honestly think they're just I think they're created by bots. I think they're like it's pulling all this data, the metadata, and it's not actually. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but I'm just like, why? Like, this article is not helpful if you don't know what the series is.
Yeah, I have to admit, I got a little overexcited about the idea of book twos, so I went back to my Goodreads and pulled out all of the book ones that I had read in the past 5 years. Which, you know, is interesting to see some stuff that I'd read and meant to go back to and never did, but also some things that I know that I'm not going to go back to because they were read for, like,
the podcast.
Some podcast stuff, for sure. Although some podcast stuff I'm definitely going back to because it was, like, space opera or whatever. But over that 5-year period, I had read, like, 95 book ones.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure if that's a lot or a little.
That's a lot, Megan.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
Megan's conception.
In terms of the proportion to other books that I've read, I guess, is what I mean.
Right, yeah.
Because in general, I'm kind of a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, compared to the rest of us, yes.
Yeah, Megan's conceptions of numbers and volume of reading is just a little different from ours. Just a little.
Like, we always say this, but then, like, the sheer number of comics I read is, like, overwhelming.
Yeah. There's that, too.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. Yep. You, too. You both. Yeah, you're way up there.
Has anyone else accidentally, like, read a book three first?
Yes, I did this with the Harry Potter series.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my aunt was like, oh, I heard the series is really popular, and I bought you this, and it was The Chamber of Secrets. And so I read The Chamber of Secrets, and I liked it, and I was like, that was really good, I'll read the rest of these, and then I, you know, went out and bought the Sorcerer's Stone, and was like, oh... I guess there was a first one.
The what now?
Yeah, I grew up in the United States, so it was, I did have to pause and think, it's like, it's not, it wasn't the Philosopher's Stone. What was it called when I bought it in the States? But yeah, I like totally did not register with me that I was reading it out of order. I was just like, great, yeah, there's this kid Harry and he's got these friends and he's at a magic school, I'm in. And I think maybe that has to do with, like, just at that age, like, reading a lot of books from, like, series that are, that churn out a ton of installments, like, kids detective series, or like those thin chapter books, the sort of mass market kids paperbacks where it doesn't matter what order you read those in, really.
Do you mean you didn't read the Goosebumps books in order?
No, I don't think I've ever read number one in the Goosebumps. I did read the Animorphs in order. I feel like that was pretty important. But did I read them in order? Maybe I didn't. Because I do think they spend like the first chapter of all of those books being like, my name is Jake and I was a normal kid, but now I'm an Animorph. And do a quick sum up of the concept of the series.
Mm. Like, brief aside, I've never read those books, but everything I hear about them is that they are very strange.
Oh yeah, it gets super dark. Like, I didn't read a lot of the later books, but I did read the one where, like, a new kid infiltrates the Animorphs and, like, gets Animorph powers, but then he turns out to be evil and starts trying to kill them all. and then they... trap him as a mouse, and he stays in mouse form for more than 2 hours, and they like release him on a beach, and that's his life. That's how they decided to deal with that problem, is you're a mouse now.
Go get eaten.
And that is like low on the scale of how dark the series gets.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I never read it.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, it is about a war. like, you know, they're at war with a hostile alien race that, you know, has kidnapped their friends and family members. So they're all, like, traumatized by the end of that series, you know, if they're alive.
Gosh, I don't think I read more than one or two, so I didn't realize, like, how dark that got.
Yeah, I would say like the first 30 books are probably still pretty light. Relatively, you know, certainly there's danger and excitement, but...
It's like those Sweet Valley High books that are all like, it's high school or it's middle school. And then you get to the really fat ones and it's like, and this girl has decided she's going to kill the twins and take over their lives.
So stretch goal for the podcast?
What is the stretch goal? Reading all of the Animorphs books?
It's just a spin-off podcast in which, you know, we read one Animorph book and one Sweet Valley High book a month.
God. Oh. Oh, I have a friend with an Animorphs podcast. I don't, you know, I don't think we need to get into the Animorphs.
Don't a step on there. Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots of Animorphs podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay. Non-Animorph content then.
Yeah, so Chamber of Secrets is my big one that I read out of order. I also, the only Discworld book that I've read is Hogfather, and I have no idea what number in the series that is, because I think that is a good example of a series that people don't tend to read in order, or that you, like, certainly can read out of order.
Yeah, it's a series, there's like 40-something books in it, I think. I can't remember exactly how many, but there's so many sub-series as well that there's definitely more than one. There's books that are not good starting places, and there are books that are good starting places, but you can also kind of read them in any order, I feel. Mm-hmm. Except, like, definitely don't read the second one first, or the first one first. Don't read the first two first, I think. Go. There's many websites that will tell you which one to start with.
Anna also mentioned detective series, mystery series, being ones that it's pretty easy to read out of order. I think I would add to that romance series.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Some romance authors write series, but it is usually a new couple every book.
Yeah.
The couple from the previous books are just like in the background or a side character or linked in some way.
Yeah. All the siblings or cousins or whatever.
Yeah, that's totally true in that I have, when I've gone to select like a romance to read or something like that, I will look at a series, I will select something based on what sounds interesting, and then I might look at that series that it's in, and I will generally just select through to decide which are the most interesting sounding ones in there. If the series is good, I might read through the whole thing, but like, I'll start with just whatever sounds interesting.
Yeah.
The idea just came to me of a romance series in which the main character's like romantic partner from the previous book dies mysteriously between the two volumes of the series. And so it's always like, oh no, my partner has died. Time to find new love again.
And it just happens over and over. And eventually it devolves into being a like slight horror slash mystery novel. That's about what's happening too.
The readers are like, no, don't fall in love with this person. You'll die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my 17 previous suitors have all died mysteriously.
That's good. They start investigating the deaths, and then there is like a question of like, is there a serial killer targeting this person's partners, or is this character actually the killer and they're an unreliable narrator?
Yeah, very dark.
Mm-hmm. That's not a romance at all.
No.
It starts as a romance series and then stops being a romance series.
Very, very sort of, what is that game? Doki Doki Literature Club?
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers for Doki Doki Literature Club.
I also definitely did read P.D. James, for instance. I've read a lot of P.D. James, maybe, I'm not quite sure all of P.D. James' books, but a lot of them. And I definitely read them in like whatever gosh darn order. But then I did reread a number of them, and I reread them in order because there are things that build over time. And you, like when I read them out of order, or when I read the first handful of them that I read out of order, I did not pick up on like progressions of things that were occurring, even though like they are talked about in like the, what's his name?
The Inspector.
The Inspector. Daglish? Dogleish? What is his name exactly?
I don't know.
Anyways, there's events happening in his life, and you can kind of like follow along with how his life changes over time. And this is literally years and years are passing in his life over the course of these books. So I totally was not figuring, I was like confused by like, is he married? Is he not? Is this girlfriend? What's happening here? What's it like? I was getting confused when I read them out of order because it is a component of the story. And then when I did it in order, it was actually kind of interesting to see how his character changed and developed over time. So that did add something, but like, I mean, they're just mystery novels. You can also like, whatever, read whatever order or don't read any more than the one you happen to read if you don't feel like it.
It is kind of like mystery novels are a sort of fiction where the main character is not like the driver of the plot necessarily. Does that make sense?
Until they get to the ones where suddenly the mysteries are always about like the...
Who killed my previous partner in the other 14 books in the
story. Yeah. And who's the mysterious enemy that's constantly undermining them, or who's the serial killer that's targeting them and their family, or
the one who always gets away.
Yeah, that until that happens, yes.
I clearly don't read a lot of mystery series.
All right, so are we ready to go into talking about book twos that we might read?
Couple other questions we could talk about. One is whether we have favorite book twos that we've read in the past.
Probably.
I know that. I'll tell you, if it's a favorite book two, I will be incapable of distinguishing from the book two versus the book three versus just the series as a whole, right? Like, if I've read a series and I enjoyed it, I don't know. Was it book two that was awesome and made me keep going? I don't know. Who knows?
I have two that are the two that if I'm going to I might reread the whole series, but sometimes I just reread the book two because I enjoyed it so much. One is Deep Wizardry by Diane Duane from the Young Wizards series. And the other one is Lyriel by Garth Nix in the Old Kingdom series. And it's like, for the Young Wizards, it's mostly like the characters that were introduced in the first book go through some additional changes, and the story they go through is just more engaging for me, I think. And in Garth Nix, it's a different character altogether. And while I like Sabriel, I like Lyriel lots more. So that's just how it went. I enjoy the whole series as it is, but I will reread just the book twos for these ones.
Didn't Diane Duane rewrite some of those Young Wizards books?
Oh, did she? Because that Young Wizards is one of the ones where I owned the trilogy as one collection instead of as three separate books. And there are like 10 of them now, so.
Yeah, there's revised and updated Young Wizards New Millennium Edition novels. So there are ebooks available that have updated them to revised and edited for the 21st century readership. Apparently there's internet in them, maybe. I recently heard the author talk about, I don't know that series, but was on a Discworld podcast talking about their Discworld books and also their own books. And so they said they'd revised some of them. So that might be an interesting thing to revisit as well, Megan, to look at a revised version of those books that you've read multiple times before.
I don't know if I want to, though. Like, those are books that I read when I was a young teen.
Oh, Young Wizard.
When I was just waiting to find the book that would turn me into a wizard instead of
a librarian
getting launched into the world of adulthood.
Well, maybe the revised version will do that.
I don't think so. Anybody else have a favorite book too?
Yeah, I have a few I could mention. They're all young adult or middle grade because that's how I roll. The Girl Who Fell Beneath Fairyland and Led the Revels There, which is the sequel to The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making, which we read together for this podcast. If y'all haven't read book two of that series, it's good. I think that one really benefited from the timing where I got that perfect timing that I mentioned where I read the first one and it was like a few months until the second one came out. And I also got the second one as an arc. Like, I had a friend who was also like really loved the first one and, got an arc and shared it with me. And so that was also like a special reading experience, but it was also just like, I loved the first one so much and was so excited, like didn't know if there was going to be a second one and then found out there was and was so excited, then had to wait a few months and then like got it early. And we had like talked with this friend about the first one and we had like these theories about what might happen if that the author did a sequel. And then some of those things did happen in the sequel, which was very exciting and satisfying. Yeah, that was a good sequel experience. I wrote down Catching Fire of the Hunger Games series. I think that is my favorite book of the three in that trilogy. But I also, I had some moments in that book where I was like, that is so brilliant and what a good book. And also I had some moments with that book where I was like, this is so frustrating and this series is dumb. I didn't quit it, but I thought about it. I did mention that there are a bunch of young adult series that I did quit on the second book, and I will mention those briefly here. Those were Insurgent in the Divergent series, A Million Suns in the Across the Universe series, which I don't think was quite as popular, but is in a similar like young adult sci-fi dystopia vein, and Prodigy in the Marie Lou Legend series, which I didn't actually read, but after I read and quit those other two, I looked up spoilers for Prodigy to see if it had the same issue, which it did, which is that it introduced a gay character and then killed them off.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Which was just such like a, just sort of a fascinating and infuriating trend in young adult fiction during a very particular time period. Yeah, I think young adult has probably gotten better about like both including queer characters more, and not like killing them off in book two. But Yeah, I had a whole string of like reading book two and then being like, this fucking sucks. I quit. The series is bad. I think it also didn't help that I wasn't like in love with the series anyway. They were just sort of like easy, fun, breezy reads. But then they got less fun. And then another book to mention, and this one you can totally read out of order, which is the Weetzie Bat series. And the second one is Witch Baby, which I've talked about on the show before, and we always make fun of the name sounds like it is. Which baby is it?
Witch Baby.
No, it is Witch Baby, as in a magically inclined baby.
The other book is a very different book.
Yes. Weetzie Bat, the whole series has problems with like cultural appropriation, and I can't remember how much of that is in Witch Baby, but I'd say you could probably skip Weetzie Bat, the first book, and just read Witch Baby and get a lot out of it. And I think I liked it so much because Weetzie Bat is like fun, but a lot of it feels like very like sunshiny and like, I don't know. It's just Witch Baby is such a shift in tone and perspective from the first one that it really kind of blew me away at the time that I read it. I brought it into a therapy session and like read a page to my therapist. Witch Baby by Francesca Leigh Bloch, one of my favorite book twos.
That brings up a really interesting thing, though, is when the second book in a series is very unlike the first one. When the author has made a decision to change the style of the book, and sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't work. It is interesting to think, like, what do you do when your first book is successful enough to get a sequel? And it's like, do you do the same thing or do you try and do something else?
Kind of depends on the style of the series, though, because sometimes they're just like, you know, different events happen and you try to deal with it, and then different events happen and you try to deal with it, and other ones there are like a predetermined arc, so it's sold as a trilogy or five books or whatever. And so the plan is to get to the end of the big story at the end of five books or three books, as opposed to this must wrap up within one book.
Well, I was just going to go backwards to say that I think it's interesting that you brought up the second book in the Hunger Games series, because I actually, that's a number two I've never read. I read the first one. I enjoyed it. There was nothing, like, there's no specific reason why I, like, would not want to read the second one. I just also did not feel motivated to read the second one and did not select it as one for this year to try to read. But I did enjoy the first book. So it's interesting that you're like, but it's a great second one. Well, I'm still not sure I'm motivated.
I thought you were going to say that you read the first one and the third one and just skip the middle one. Like, eh, you know.
Nope. I only ever made it through the first one.
Okay. I really want to know if any of our listeners have done that. If you've just skipped the second book entirely in a series. You wanted to see how it ended, but you didn't actually hear about the middle.
Because I feel like there's a feeling that the book two is often the weakest in a trilogy. Like it's the middle. It's where things can go poorly, or you can lose people.
I think it depends on like how structured a trilogy was designed to be. You know.
Yeah, because I've had people complain to me that like the first book was written as if they weren't sure whether they were going to get more books. And so they had to stuff all of the things that they were really excited about, whether the world building or the character like development or whatever, into the first book because they weren't sure whether it's going to go on or not, which would make kind of unbalanced in terms of a series if they do end up getting more.
Yeah, what's the line of something like, you know, your first book takes your entire life and experiences up to that point and puts them into it. And then your second book takes, you know, the next 2 years.
Do we have any book twos that don't exist, but we wish they did?
I mean, I could vaguely suggest that, like, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. So here's the thing. I have really enjoyed reading The Library at Mount Char. I think it's a great book. It was a great read for me. And there's plenty of possibility for book twos, threes, fours. It could go on. There's entire possibility for that. And yet I'm split. I kind of just wanted to stop where it is, right? Like I liked it. I see so much potential for continuing on with it, and yet I feel like it has completed itself. And I'm not sure that I do actually want the continuation.
It's true. They can't screw it up if it doesn't happen.
Right, exactly. They can't get it to the point where I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'll just pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, I mostly have book threes that didn't happen as opposed to book twos. Like, it's hard to get as invested into a book one if it ends okay, it doesn't end on a cliffhanger or something like that. Although I'm still waiting for the second book of The City We Became series by N.K. Jemisin. I know it, you know, pandemic, whatever, it'll probably still get published eventually, but I'm like, but it was so good.
Didn't that come out not that long ago? 2020. Yeah, I guess it's been a few years, but...
Yeah, I think it was supposed to come out sooner, but has been delayed maybe a year or two, so you can't really get... I mean, I guess I can get upset. But I feel like I haven't finished the Broken Earth trilogy. I can't get that upset that a new Great Cities book isn't out yet.
There's some series that it was supposed to be like a duology and the second book never came out, and I've never read the first one and I can't remember what it is.
What color was the cover? Right.
It had a spaceship on it and it was backlit with a planet and like that little ring of light, you know?
Oh, I think Deathless by Catherine Valente. Is that it?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That seems like it is, but I'm not seeing it listed as having a book two.
Well, are we ready to each talk about our two books, or at least two examples of books, book twos that we want to read in 2022?
I had a terrible time trying to cut this down to two, so someone else go first, because I still haven't decided yet.
I can talk about my two that I want to read, and I can lay claim to one of them that I think a few of us have had on our lists, and maybe that'll help make your decision easier, Megan. One that I want to try to read this year, sincerely, I want to make an effort, is A Closed and Common Orbit by Becky Chambers, which is book two of the Wayfarer series. I read book one, The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, a couple of years ago. I really loved it. I bought this sequel, and I've never started it. And I think it is partially just because I was reading other things, partially because I think the focus shifts in the sequel, and so it's less of a known quantity. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be seeing the same characters or not. And I think also, I really love the first one. It also made me cry a lot. And so I think I've been looking for a time. It's like, do I want to be emotionally devastated by a book this month? But you know, I loved the first one. So I should read this sequel at some point. Closed in Common Orbit.
That's also my to-read list for this year, my sequels.
And the other one, I think, just because I think it is realistic that I might read it, I added a lot to the shelf, as I mentioned, that I don't think realistically I'm going to get around to, given my track record on reading resolutions. I think Searching for Dragons by Patricia C. Reed.
Oh, yeah.
I might get to. This is a middle grade. I read the first in the series, Dealing with Dragons, for the podcast, and loved it. And it's a middle grade series. I could probably read this in a couple days, and I just haven't gotten around to it. And I should, because I really liked the first one, and I want to see what the rest of that series is like.
It's so good.
So two I will mention briefly. So one of them is the second book in a series, and I haven't read the first book in the series. So this is, I don't know if this even counts, but I'm counting it at least. I made up this challenge, so I can make up the rules as well. And it's Startide Rising by David Brin, book two in the Uplift saga, which is an old science fiction series about intelligence and aliens and stuff. Anyway, the problem is I barely remember what books are about before I read them. I think it's about like making animals, giving animals human level intelligence and then meeting aliens. And so I think the first book is about giving I think the aliens show up in the second book, which is why it's like more interesting, theoretically. And the other one is one that I bounced off really hard last year, which is Harrow the Ninth, the sequel to Gideon the Ninth. And I really loved Gideon the Ninth. And then the sequel is written in a very difficult to read style, which apparently rewards rereading. And I'm like, fuck you, author. No. So I'm going to try again and we'll see how much of it I managed to read this time, which is so frustrating because I really love the world of the first book. And for then the second book to be written in a seemingly like purposefully difficult style is like, I don't know, annoying to me as someone who doesn't reread books specifically.
I'm sure it's appealing to someone.
Yeah, if you reread books, I'm sure it's super appealing. But like, I'm like, I don't do that. Other books to read.
No time to waste.
Oh, there's lots of time to waste.
Just not in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the books that I have on my gonna read the book to as soon as I get a hold of it is called The Thousand Eyes by A.K. Larkwood. And it's part of the Serpent Gates series. You might have heard the first one is called Unspoken Name, and the like little blurby thing is like an orc person who is about to be sacrificed to their unnamed god has someone ask her a question, and she maybe decides not to sacrifice herself to the unknown god. And I feel like if you wanted to tap into that like stubborn, snarky Gideon experience from Gideon the Ninth, only in a more fantasy setting, this might be a good choice for you, because it had like that kind of, like I said, stubborn, I want to say like brute fighter kind of character with a magic user and their kind of interaction. Anyway, it occurred to me just as I was looking at my list. So I'm looking forward to the second in that series. And another one, which I found as I was going through the last 5 years of my book ones, is called Supernova by C.A. Higgins in the Lightless series. It's a science fiction. I don't really remember what happened in the first one, except I feel like there was some like criminal activity, and maybe there was a conscious AI in a spaceship type thing going on. And I like that kind of thing. So maybe I should read book one again. Maybe not. I don't know. But that's on my list to read in the coming year.
Megan, I enjoyed Gideon the Ninth despite the fantasy, not because of it.
But I just mean like the character of Gideon rather than the location.
Yeah, no. You take the science fiction out of it, and I'm not interested.
I know that you wouldn't touch anything that's not science fiction with a 10-foot pole. We understand. Like, if you want Matthew to read and enjoy your book, put it in space. Like, no beating about the bush. It's all about the context and the environment.
Cyberspace also acceptable.
Have you tried, Matthew, just reading a book and just adding, like, in space to the end of every sentence?
You know, I've thought about that a lot when I have to read romance novels for this podcast, because that would definitely make them more enjoyable. Although, I will tell you, spoilers for next episode, I don't think anything can save this Amish romance novel I'm reading.
Just pretend that it's in space, and instead of being Amish, they are androids, and that's why their ways seem so foreign and uninteresting to you.
Nope.
The cover of Matthew's looks like a terrible cross between Amish romance and a cozy mystery. And I'm just like, these are both things that are difficult.
I wish it was that interesting. I wish there was a mystery.
Okay, so I gave this a lot of thought because I kept thinking of things that I haven't read the book twos in, but I also, each time I thought of one, I was like, but I don't actually feel motivated to read that book two. I'm kind of okay with the fact that I never did. So I finally thought up something here for this. The first one is Authority, which is the second in the trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer, the Area X trilogy. I really enjoyed the first one a lot. I thought it was very interesting. I have always meant to read the second one. In fact, I started it and I only got partway through it and then I just bogged down. I just really would like to go back and give it another try and really make it through to the end of the series because I really am genuinely curious about where Jeff Vandermeer takes this. I've read a few things by him now and I just am curious about how he will see through this trilogy. So I would like to go ahead and give another try to reading book two in that series. The other one is a little bit of a cheat here. Many, many, many years ago. I mean, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I don't know how long ago this was, but a very long time ago. I read a book called How We Die, Reflections on Life's Final Chapter by Sherwin B. Newland. And it was really powerful. I found it a fascinating and powerful reading experience. It has remained, I bought a copy of it. I still have it to this day. I've not reread it since then. It's a little out of date at this point. But it's basically like going through, it's written by a surgeon, by a doctor. It's nonfiction. And it is literally about like the process under which your body goes at the point of death. Like, it is just unpacking that, but it was just done in such an empathetic and beautifully written way. So there is a book called How We Live by this author, which is actually, in my understanding, not what it was originally called. It was originally the follow-up book after this was given a different title, but everybody kept calling it How We Live. So when they reissued the editions of it, they started just calling it How We Live. Instead of whatever its original title was, I can't remember. It was like Wisdom of the Body or something like that. So I would like to go back and read How We Live. So this is not exactly a book two. It's just another book by a nonfiction author, but it is to some degree a follow-up or a continuation in the same theme of this original book. I actually am thinking I might reread How We Die. It's, again, like I said, probably a little bit out of date on some things at this point. But the point is not exactly a lot of the base stuff is still going to be right. And the point isn't just the science behind it. So, yeah, that's my plan.
I like that you managed to sneak a nonfiction in.
I tried really hard about it. I actually thought about it a lot because I read so much more nonfiction than fiction. And it just wasn't really honest for me to pick most of the other fiction ones that I could have read a book to on. And I was like, I would rather be honest about how I read and what I would genuinely potentially do. And I also wanted to think, one of the things I've been thinking about recently is up until fairly recently, I didn't really have authors that I was really intentionally following and ensuring that I read each book by them. But I've started to notice that I have just a handful of authors that are like that and from nonfiction, right? Because again, that's mostly what I'm reading. So I'm starting to notice that I kind of have that. And in a way, it's sort of the same idea of the reading through the series and stuff like that. It's reading each of the pieces produced by these authors that I just think do really incredible work. So at this point, some of the authors sitting on that list for me are Eula Biss and Hanifa Durakib and the Mary Roach.
Yeah.
Those are probably three that are kind of now on that list of like authors that I just really try to read everything they come out with.
Nice. Well, go us. We have intentions. Plans. Big plans.
Big fancy plans.
So yeah, I guess look at our social media in the coming months to see how we keep up with this. How good are we at doing it? Let us know if you would like to, if you might read along with us or if you might read a sequel this year.
I really need a year of book ones because I have so many science fiction and fantasy series. Because that is, if I'm going to read fiction, that's usually my preference. And I have so many of them that I've got on my list of like, oh, that sounds really good. I should read that. And I've never gotten around to it.
Okay. We can do that in 2111.
Yeah, 2111. Thanks.
When we're all heads in jars.
Do you know how long the TBR is going to be? By then, like...
By then? Yeah, seriously. Everything that's on it right now will have faded into
to dust in history by then. Yeah.
Dust. Like us.
Well, if our consciousness is just in the cloud at that point, then I think we can just upload the whole book at one time.
It's true. I can just absorb it. It'll be a lot faster. I mean, that'll be an interesting different version of this podcast where it's more about like managing the data volume and like, do you have enough upload speed in order to get through these things? And so that's the actual masochism now, is the data volume and upload speed into your consciousness to get them in.
I'm going to become Johnny Five Alive. Need more input.
Megan's going to be the most advanced version.
I'm just imagining the future where we're all, you know, consciousness in a machine, but podcasts still exist. And we're still calling them podcasts after, like, a device that doesn't exist and people don't use now.
Oh, it's true.
Also, like, we're still not finished all the genres.
But yeah, we still have the genre list, of course.
Oh, caveman detective stories someday. Someday your time will come.
I mean, maybe we'd just start over again.
No, no, Megan. No.
Hopefully by then we've made contact with alien cultures and we'll also have their genres to add to the list.
I'm down.
We'll have started actually being able to communicate with other animals on this planet. And they'll begin to share their fiction and their stories with us.
So yeah, if you want to tell us what genres you think will be popular in the year 2111, please tweet at us, send us an email.
Yeah, let us know.
Please make up new genres that you'll think we'll be covering in the future of this podcast to horrify and dismay us. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Club for Masochists. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. If you like the show, subscribe so you never miss an episode, and consider giving us a positive rating and or review. And if you've already done that, thank you. Also, if you use Podcast Addict, that is a place where you can leave a rating or a review as well. So it's not just Apple Podcasts where you can rate things.
Yeah, check your podcast app.
For all our URLs and social media accounts, the 4 in our name is a numeral. You can go to our website at bookclub4m.com, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/bookclub4m, and find us on Twitter and Instagram at bookclub4m. Our email address is bookclub4m@gmail.com.
On our website, you can find show notes that will provide links to things that we've mentioned, social media info for everyone who appeared in this episode, and our genre-based book list of titles by authors of color.
You can suggest a genre or a specific title for us to read, or you can request a reading recommendation from us. We have a form you can fill out on our website, bookclub4m.com. We can't make promises on reading your specific suggestion, but if you ask for a recommendation, we will give you one.
I don't do well with goals.
Anna doesn't like being told what to do.
Yeah, don't tell me.
Unless it's give me a book recommendation, then you're fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
All opinions are our own and do not reflect our places of employment if they exist.
Our theme music is To Arrakis by Dark Sun from the Free Music Archive.
New episodes are the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Join us again on Tuesday, February 1st, when we'll be talking about Amish romance.
Then on Tuesday, February 15th, we'll be discussing What is a book?
What is a book? Oh, no.
We got that existential? I'm like, oh my gosh.
That is what is written here. I don't remember who wrote it.
What?
Did we sincerely choose that? Or did we one of us say that as a joke and somebody wrote it down?
Yeah, not setting us up with any kind of big issues.
Oh, apparently I added that last month.
That sounds like a you thing, Matthew. You put things like that on there for us.
Literally no memory of this. None. No memory of this. That brings up a really interesting train.
I thought you were going to say train of thought, but no.
No.
A literal train.
I thought about sitting in the closet, but we'll see. Maybe that's next time.
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable. I remember one time I tried to record in the closet.
Sorry, my brain disappeared.
Bye, everybody!